1 Peter 5 and 8, look what your Bible says. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, what about seeking whom he may devour? Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us now while we might preach. Help the one that might be lost to get saved. Help the one that needs help to find it in you. And touch us and anoint us afresh. And we'll ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we look at these verses here, I thought about these verses this past week and started looking at them, and I want to preach on either with a title of Dealing with the Devil or the God of All Grace. You say, well, those ain't got nothing to do with it. Yeah, they do too, because I'm going to tell you, if you deal with the devil, you're going to need the God of all grace and that to help you today. Now, I don't know how you want to title that thing back there, young man, but you just title it however you can. But in these verses right here, as we read in verse 8, we find that he talks about the devil. And he talks about the afflictions that are brought in verse 9. Now let me say quickly that as I preach this morning, I'm going to look at some of the afflictions that the devil brings. But I want you to understand that we can be afflicted of the Lord. I mean, the Bible talks about in Psalms 119, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. It is the affliction of God that when we get wrong, he straightens us out, don't he? Ain't you glad this morning for the chastening hand of the God of heaven? The Bible talks about how that we should, and that he chastens those that he love, and not to despise the chastening hand of God. Listen, I'm glad God is paying attention to what I'm doing. Amen. I'm glad he's watching over me. He's keeping me, but he's correcting me when I get wrong. And boy, I thank God for that. It says in Psalms 119, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And so we learn in that about God and how he wants us to live. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 13, the last part, he said, but the ways of transgressors are hard. Listen, whether it's sinners in the world or sinners that are saved and not living right, it's going to be hard, friend. Did you know that? Listen, it's hard enough without being wrong with God. You know what I'm saying this morning? If you ain't right with God, it's going to be hard. If you're saved, amen, am I not right, church? Hit me out now this morning. If you ain't right with God, it's going to be hard. But when you're right with him, I'm telling you, there may be afflictions in that of Satan that we'll deal with here in a minute. But I want you to understand, as long as he's on our side, we can get through anything today. And boy, we thank God for that. I want to look this morning at just what he said. Number one, first of all, I want to see about our adversary. Our adversary, he said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. Now, you understand who an adversary is. That is an enemy or a foe. That is one that is your opponent or one that you have to fight with. Hey, can I tell you today that God should not be our adversary? The Lord Jesus should not be our adversary, but Satan is our adversary. I want you to understand, I want you to get that in your mind, that this is somebody that is against you and not for you this morning. Listen, he is far more than just that red scaly beast that has that split tail and carries a pitchfork about as the world sees him on Halloween. I'm going to tell you, as a matter of fact, the Bible right here, Peter did list him as that roaring lion. I'll deal with that here in a minute. As a matter of fact, I'll just deal with it now. I want you to look at the description and that of Satan right here. Look how that he's described. Notice that he's described as the roaring lion. You know, the lion is the greatest animal in the jungle, ain't it? Amen? I mean, hey, listen, do you realize that he is the meanest animal in the jungle? He's the ravenous animal in the jungle. I mean, they call him the king of the jungle. There's none greater than him. Read the book of Proverbs over there. Even Solomon talks about the lion and how great he is. And so when Peter begins to describe and give a description and that of our adversary, he not only calls him a lion, but a roaring lion. Do you know that you can hear a lion roar 5 miles away? I looked that up just to make sure that was the truth, and they said it's the truth. If you can believe Dr. Google, it's the truth. And do you know how far 5 miles is by the way of the air? You know where Regional Park is down there next to the interstate? That is 5 miles from where I'm standing right here. Almost 5 miles from where I'm standing, the Dooley Tractor Company, by the way of the air. I looked it up. Go look it up yourself. Can you imagine having a lion at Regional Park? Let me say this. If there is a lion in Athens, I hope he's at Regional Park and I'm here. Because I don't want to be nowhere around him, because he's going to be mean. But listen, can you imagine if we were out on the front porch and the lion over there and he began to roar and to be able to hear that thing all the way this far? Now that ought to begin to tell you some things about how that this lion is. I mean, he's got them pockets in his paws, you know, that holds meat and it deteriorates and goes rank. And so when he reaches out to swipe at something, if he don't get them the first time and kill them, then that old stuff in his paws will set up infection in the animal that he swipes at. I mean, our adversary is not no house cat. I mean, our adversary is not a tabby cat that's no more than 2 or 3 inches. Hey, listen, the Bible said he's a roar. Didn't call him a lion. Called him a roaring lion. They roar to show their monstrosity. They roar to show how strong they are and how mean they are. I want you to understand something this morning, that your adversary, you cannot wake up in the morning, holler boo at him, and expect him to run off. He is not afraid of us. I mean, you need to grasp that this morning. Listen, a lot of Pentecostals will tell you, just holler boo at the devil and he'll flee from you. No, the Bible said, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. I'm going to deal with that resistance in a minute. I believe, do you know, realize to resist means you got to fight? So the roaring lion is out to not only to show his strength, but that roar is also to intimidate. You remember what I said? I hope that lion stays where he is and I'll stay where I'm at. You ever heard one roar? You ever been at the zoo and heard one roar? I mean, that just, oh, that's that old deep. I mean, just that old deep roar that they have. You can hear it all over the place. The devil wants you to know that he's real. And he wants you to be afraid of him. See, he knows that if he can get you afraid of him, that you just might not serve Christ like you should. Kind of like handing out a tract, get afraid about what maybe somebody might say. Maybe witnessing on the job. I mean, I know you got to work your job and you got to be smart, and I understand all that stuff. But friend, I mean, he wants us to be afraid of him. You know, the thing about this lion right here is he said, as a roaring lion, woe about Seekon, whom he may devour. Now, there was a feller that Jacob works with. We all call him Tiny. And they were out deer hunting one day, and Tiny gets in this brush pile to hunt. And so I believe he ends up shooting a deer. And as he comes back around and he gets in the brush pile, he had seen this bobcat coming.
And he could hear it over there rustling in the woods. And he turns around and looks. And he spots this bobcat. And that bobcat is seeking him. It's beginning to hunt Tiny. Now, it's one thing when you're out there hunting a little old Bambi deer. Amen. But when you got out there and you've got a bobcat that's sneaking up on you, you know what the devil does? He not only roars, but he hides and he hunts you. He's out. Notice what he said right there. He's seeking what? Whom he may devour. Do you realize that he wants to destroy you? He wants to devour you. He wants to, just do what he can to keep you from serving God, make you the most miserable person in the whole world. That's what he's after to do. He's out to destroy homes. He's out to destroy churches. He's out to destroy families, marriages. He's out to destroy it all. What did Jesus tell Simon? Simon, Simon, Satan desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, I prayed for you. Why did he pray for him? Because Satan was after him. Do you think Satan's after you? I think if you're not doing anything for the Lord, then he's already got you. He devours how he can. As I said, he destroys marriages and families. And as he destroys marriages and families, he destroys churches. You realize this church right here this morning is made up of families. It's made up of people. And if he can destroy your home, then he can destroy this church. He puts out temptation and wants you to fall for it. But every man, according to James, is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and is enticed. So we know that he's out. Why do people fall for that stuff? I'm not going to save people. Now, if you ain't saved this morning, the devil's already got you where he wants you. And by the way, he ain't your buddy and he ain't your friend. He'll destroy you just like he will save people. I wish lost people could get a hold of that. He wants to destroy them too, just like saved people. I mean, he's not their buddy. He's not nobody. He'll make you think that until he gets you where he wants you. And then he's already got you. He puts out temptation. Puts out things that people like. As I say, I don't know if he knows how much he knows about all of us, but he knows something. I'm going to tell you what, because when God said over there in the book of Job, when he said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" You know what he said? He said, "You put a hedge about everything." He said, "You put a hedge about everything he owns. You put a hedge about his family. And you put a hedge about him. And Lord, I can't touch him." He knew some things about Job. You remember that devil over there in the book of Acts when they went to, when them seven sons of Sceva went to cast out that devil out of that one fellow that was possessed. And they go over there and said, "I adjure thee by the name of Jesus whom Paul preacheth, how to come out of him." And you know what they said? "Jesus we know and Paul we know, but who are you?" They knew Jesus, but they also knew Paul. Now, why was that? Well, Paul was preaching, wasn't he? He was preaching the truth. Listen, how much have we showed up on the devil's radar? But he wants that to destroy us and devour you. You have a bullseye on your back and on the door of your house, and he will do whatever he can to destroy you. He took Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. The Bible said that Jesus was led of the Spirit out in the wilderness and that to be tempted of the devil. And for 40 days and 40 nights he fasted. And one of the Gospels tells us that he was tempted in them 40 days and 40 nights. But yet at the end we find the great temptation of Christ, of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And Luke tells us that after Christ went through all that and he beat him by the word of God, it said that Satan departed from him for a season.
It did not say that he left him forever. It said he departed from him for a season. He's never going to leave, friend. He's always going to be out, and that to get us. Boy, you're painting a bleak picture this morning, preacher. No, I want us to understand that he's out to destroy us, to get us to quit, to get us to get in sin, to get us lazy. If COVID ain't done nothing more else to the church, it showed the laziness of some people. It has. It's made some people lazy. We quit having church for just a short amount of time, as we know it. And when I say short amount of time, it was, I believe we done everything online for 2 weeks and we went to meeting. But it has made some people, and that I believe, get away from the Lord. In a time like that, that's when we all should have drawn nigh to the Lord, wasn't it? I mean, we should have drawn just as close to God. Said, God, we don't know what's going on. We don't know how to handle this thing. But boy, we sure do. We should come by and help us. Amen. And we just want to serve you. We're in a mess, God. We need some help. I told my wife, Brother Marvin, that I seen in my own self. I seen that my study began to slip. I wasn't preaching twice a week or three times a week at times. And I could see my own study beginning to sleep. But he's out to devour. As a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's out to destroy and to kill and to keep us from serving Christ. Notice what he said in the description. He said that he is the adversary, the roaring lion, coming to devour. So somebody is after you. We wouldn't put up with it if somebody else was after us, would we? If we thought somebody was chasing us and trying to kill us, we would do everything that we possibly could to keep that from happening. If we thought that somebody was trying to break into our house and wanted to destroy our family, we would do whatever we could to stop it, wouldn't we? But yet there are homes today that is being destroyed and mom and dad is not doing anything to stop it. He is destroying homes by what is being played on the TV. He's destroying homes by what kids are looking at, by what mom and dad are looking at also, whether it's on the computer or on their phone or in magazines. I mean, it's just one thing after another. It's destroying a home. And if we thought somebody was trying to do that, we would kill them for sure. I mean, I would. Somebody coming in my house, going to try to get me and my wife, you're going to meet the bad end of something else. One fella said one time that, I asked him, you got any guns? He said, not enough. Not enough. I thought that's a pretty good answer if you want to know the truth. He's out to get us. We have an adversary. I think a lot of Christians has got a bad idea about the adversary. Do you realize the more that we serve Christ and the more that we desire to be right with God, the more we're going to have to fight? I mean, the closer you want to draw, the harder it gets. There's always going to be a reason not to serve. There's always going to be a reason to lay in the bed. There's always going to be a reason not to come to Wednesday night prayer meeting. There's always going to be a reason not to read your Bible. There's always going to be a reason not to witness. There's always going to be a reason, and Satan will use it against you. So the description of him is he's our adversary, a roaring lion seeking to devour us. We find that, oh, and by the way, let me say this quickly, that if he sought out the Lord Jesus Christ to try to get him, don't think you're any better. He's after you. But then I want you to see the direction that the Christian is to take. We've seen the description, but now the direction is to be sober and to be vigilant. You know, to be sober means, the easy word there is not intoxicated, ain't it? It means to be regular or calm or not under the passion of anything. Not being guided by passion. But when I read that verse, that word also means to be serious or solemn or to be grave. I think when he says to be sober, as he's talking about our adversary, the devil, is to realize and to understand how serious this thing really is. I mean, it's a battle and a fight. I mean, why do you think Paul said, fight the good fight of faith? Why do you think in Ephesians chapter 6, he teaches us and tells us how to fight? Why? We got an adversary, don't we? You ever faced your adversary? Have you ever faced the devil? Have you ever had him tempt you? Have you ever had him bother you? You remember Joshua, the priest in the Old Testament? He was at the altar doing what he was supposed to do, and the devil was to the right of him, resisting him and hindering him in his service. He says to be sober. Understand the seriousness of the formidable foe. I had to look up that word formidable. You know, I used to, when I was Gunner's age, I hated doing spelling and doing definitions. I wish somebody would have told me later on in life that I would still be doing that. Even at 46 years old, I'd still be looking up definitions in a dictionary. Formidable means something that makes you fearful. I think the Lord wants us to understand how great of a foe He really is to us. You go over to the book of Jude and you'll find that even when Michael the archangel, him and Satan was over there when they were fighting over the body of Moses, he said, I durst not bring a rattling accusation against you, but rebuked him in the name of the Lord. Even Michael the archangel couldn't handle it. What makes us think we can? I'm just being honest this morning, trying to layer down as low to the bottom shelf as I can. What makes me and you think we can handle it? I mean, he talks about the wiles of the devil. You remember the shield of faith? And quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. He talks about the wiles of the devil. You know what the wiles of the devil is? Trickery. That's what the word wile means. It's trickery, deception. And you got to have your eyes wide open, don't you? Why do you think he said to be sober? But then he said to be vigilant. I think we understand what vigilant means. It means to be watchful or attentive or avoid or be attentive to avoid danger. You don't know what it means. You want me to tell you what vigilant means? Paying attention. I was walking through the house the other day, Brother Randy, and our coffee table has not moved from that position in our living room in, how long has it been in the living room? 10 years? 12 years since you bought it, honey? And I was just walking through the living room the other day. I was going to my study and was walking to the living room, and you know, I was just walking right along, no problem. But you know what I wasn't doing, Brother Jeremiah? I wasn't paying attention. And you know what I did? I ran all over that thing. I mean, run all over it. You know why? I wasn't being vigilant. I wasn't paying attention. I thought I knew the way to my study. And I just clobbered that thing. And you know, it's about this high. And boy, it hits you right there on your shin where it's tender. You know what I quit doing? I quit paying attention and quit watching what was going on. Because I thought I knew the way to my study, and I did know the way to my study. I did know that. But the problem was, is I wasn't paying attention. So he says to be sober, understand the seriousness of this thing. Don't be overrun by the passion of the world and let it intoxicate you. By the way, when you get intoxicated, there's a lot of things you'll do that you normally wouldn't do when you were sober. Be vigilant.
to understand that he is going to show up. Be vigilant, be paying attention, be watching for him when he shows up to try to make you fall, or shows up in your home to try to get your children. You know, your children are worth fighting for. Tell you about, I'm going to go to the book of Nehemiah. I want you to see this. Book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 4. I got there first, kids. That way y'all couldn't beat me this time. I go down to Jacob's class for just a little while today. Just spend a little time with the young people, and they wanted to do Bible drills. And I was all fired up. They beat me on every one of them. I'm getting old and I can't see, and that's what I'm going to blame it on. Even with trifocals, I can't see. Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah is rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. He's got a work to do. And you know what? In the work that he does, he has not only got some help, and he's got some people that are lazy that will not help, but he's also got enemies on the outside trying to keep him from doing his work. Sanballat, if you remember. Sanballat and all those people. But look in Nehemiah 4, look in verse 14. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Talking about the adversary. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. He said right here, Nehemiah told all of them there, he said, you fight for your family. If they're worthy and worth a fight, spiritually and physically. I'm not going to let nobody take my wife. They're going to have to kill me to get her. That's the bottom line, friend. I think she's worthy of a good fight. I think your children are worthy of a good fight. I've told you more than once, I'll fight for your children. He said, your adversary, you need to be vigilant about him. You need to be looking for him. You know what? Nehemiah, if you go back and you look at all this, he had done seen what the adversary was up to. Remember, they come over to Nehemiah. One time he was up on the wall working, and they said, come down and let's have a meeting. And he said, I can't come down. He said, if I come down, they'll quit working, and this is too great of a work. And that for me to come down. You know why I don't want to mess up? My testimony is running on the line right now. But the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ is running on the line too. First Thessalonians chapter 5, he said, you're all children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Be looking. Be looking for the adversary. Be looking for him when he comes. Be sober enough to realize that he's coming. Be serious enough. But then notice what he said in verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith. So our direction of what to do is to not only to be sober and to be vigilant, but it is to resist him. It's to fight. When you resist something or somebody, that means to stand against or to strive against. That word strive means to fight. How do we do that? He said resist steadfast in the faith. Now we can resist him, but if we go over to one point, what was it? Was it in the book of James? I believe it was, to where he said, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist, yeah, in James 4 and 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. A lot of people quote that verse as resist the devil and he'll flee from you, but you've got to submit yourself therefore to God first. There must be a submission, and that into God's will and into God's plan as to what he wants us to do and follow him. And then resist the devil. Fight, man. Fight for all you're worth. How do we fight? Well, I think we take good cue in that from the Lord Jesus Christ. How'd he fight? He fought with the Word of God, didn't he? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, as he begins to talk about, as Paul begins to write about the whole armor of God, he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's in him. You come down a few verses later and you'll find that he said, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's how we fight. I know we've got the breastplate of righteousness. I know that we've got the shield of faith, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of Christ, and our loins girt about with the truth. I understand all that. But listen, when we have to fight, then we've got to draw out a sword and begin to fight. When the devil comes to tempt you to do wrong, what do you tell him? Well, the Bible says this right here, and that's why I'm not going to do wrong. You know, he'll get the better of us sometimes if we ain't careful. You know what? He likes for mom and dad to get in that little quibble between to quip between each other. A little sly word and a little smart remark here and a little and there and a little and there. And you know what's going on? A lot of times that stuff will turn into something big if you ain't careful. And it all started as something little. And then pride will jump in to the situation. We're trying to be vigilant, ain't we? You got to be vigilant for pride. You got to be looking for that thing. I remember what my pastor used to tell us husbands years ago. He'd say, fellas, sometimes you just got to say sorry even when it ain't your fault. I ain't doing it, preacher. I ain't saying sorry when it ain't my fault. And okay. You'll have a rough marriage, is all I know to you. I'd rather have peace and joy in my house. I'd rather to have a quiet house. I've been around people that argue. I don't like it. I don't like it. You know, one preacher said, me and my wife, we don't have any short words with one another. I said, we've had some long ones. Me and Miss Latham have our times, but boy, we try to keep peace in our house. But if the devil can get in there and work on that, you have got to understand that. You have got to look for that and realize that and then begin to resist that. And so we resist steadfast. That means to be steadfast means you have to stay after it. You got to stand your ground. Nope, we're not going down that road. I'm not doing that. Look at me, young people. There is a reason. There is a reason that your mom and dad has the rules that they have in their house. And that's to keep you out of trouble. You may not like them. You may not want to live by them. And when you get old enough, you won't have to. But all they're trying to do is keep you out of trouble. Because you ain't going to believe what I'm about to say, but it's the truth. They have been where you're at. And all they're trying to do is keep you safe and give you a happy life. They're trying to keep Satan from being able to get you, because if he can get you, he will. There was a boy that my daddy did not want me to run with when I was a teenager, and he told me not to be running with him. Well, what's the first thing I did? We was running together for a while. Now, I quit that. You know, the boys he's running with at one time, I think I've told you all this, I can remember this, the boys he's running with, they got in a car wreck one night, and they left him in the car. Left him for dead. And left. I mean, just left. Left him there. Boy, that's some friends, ain't it? That's who you want to run with, ain't it? He said, you got to remain steadfast. Whom resists
steadfast. That means you have to stand your ground. You got to be willing to fight. And he said, do it in the faith. Trust God. Look to God. Let the Lord be our helper. I mean, hey, 1 John 4:4, you're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. He'll fight our battles. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. How are you going to do that? Trust in God. Sometimes I just tell the Lord, some days I'm just going to keep swinging. I'm just going to keep sending out jabs. I'm just going to keep fighting. That's all I know to do, is just keep fighting. He said, endure hardness as a good soldier. It's like being in the service, friend. Got to fight. It's a constant war and it's a constant battle. Do you realize, as we talk about afflictions, and I'll preach on them tonight if the Lord help, he said, knowing that the same afflictions. Do you realize that the word affliction has the implication of all the time? When you're afflicted, you suffer all the time. That's the idea of affliction. So in Ephesians 6:10, as I've already quoted, he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So we're strong in him. If you're going to defeat the devil, and if you don't think he is chasing you, if you don't think he is after you or after your children or after this church, do you know how much this church does just in broadcasts alone monthly? How much that we put out the gospel and put out sound doctrine. There ain't no telling who hears us. I'm not bragging pridefully or being proud at that point other than in Christ Jesus the Lord. But listen, do you realize how much, do you realize that this church is on the radio somewhere 7 days a week? We've got letters out of Nigeria and Germany. We've got letters out of Alabama. Well, that's a good place to be, ain't it? Amen, Alabama. I guess people need it down in Alabama too. Out in the Midwest. There is no telling where this church has put the gospel at just by broadcast work. You say, well, you're doing all the work. You're doing the preaching and doing all. Oh no, but you all are paying to get it done. I couldn't afford all the broadcasts that we're on. I can't afford that stuff. But this church does. And I'm just talking about broadcast work, let alone the internet work that gets done and what you do personally. Imagine if he could just stop us as a church, and imagine how much more we really need to be doing. I don't want us to feel good about ourselves just because we do a lot of broadcast work, because I'm telling you, Athens, Tennessee is dying and going to hell, man. McMinn County's dying and going to hell. Monroe County dying and going to hell. Polk County dying and going to hell. We need to be doing something about that. But he wants us to fight. I tell people a lot of times, I get around a lot of them big preachers, I say, man, I'm just over in the corner of McMinn County, just right outside of Athens, Tennessee, just trying to do our thing. We're just trying to do what we're supposed to do where we're at. My name may not ever be popular, and people may not know who I am, and that's fine. The Lord knows who I am. I know the devil knows who I am. Because me and him fight. But I want to keep swinging. I want to keep doing what I'm supposed to do for the Lord. He says what? Be sober and be vigilant and resist steadfast. That's what we're supposed to do with the devil. Not quit. Not give in. Not give up. But we keep swinging and we keep fighting. Let's